The Everything Home Podcast is brought to you by Helping the People. We're a real estate company, home resource center, and nonprofit organization that's disrupting the home buying and selling experience by providing relationship-based real estate with a socially conscious purpose. We match home buyers and sellers with our preferred realtors, and 25% of their commission is donated to our Homes for Veterans program, which financially assists veterans who want to buy a home or need home improvements for their service-connected injuries. We created this program as a way for Americans to honor the men and women of the United States military for their service to our nation and the sacrifices they've made. So if you're looking to buy a home or it's time to sell yours, please give us a call at 833-694-6636 or visit our website at helpingthepeople.org. Not only will you be working with our realtors, who are among the top 1-5% in Arizona and the greater San Diego area, you'll be changing the life of a veteran while we change yours. That's 833-694-6636 and helpingthepeople.org. We look forward to you becoming a part of our very unique community.
Welcome to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. Your home is the base for everything in your life, from the structure and contents to what goes on inside and within yourself. To make sure this foundation is solid as can be, we invite a special guest to share something you will find enlightening, inspiring, and entertaining. Now here's your host, Michelle Swinnick. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance, and we're bringing you good people doing good business and good things. And I want to encourage everybody to check out our website. I have spent quite some time updating it recently, and I think there's some really great, amazing information on there. All of our guest episodes and their contact information and write-ups about what they do, and the shows are also on there. And there's some really interesting tabs that I've added in, and then we're working on bringing you some of that content, some celebrity guests, some local people that are really doing some spectacular things that you'll recognize their names. So I think that it's turning into a very amazing resource. It's all free information. And there's discounts going to be on there very soon for different companies and for different services. Some of the stuff's free that you can get. Take a look at everythinghomepodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. But yeah, there's some really cool stuff that's coming out. There's some stuff that's on there. Our whole product buy now program is there. I'll go into more detail about that later, but basically anywhere from 2-30% of the purchases that you make for name brand products from Howe's or Travelocity or Hotwire or Major League Baseball products, Rodan and Fields is on there too. They contribute anywhere from 2-30% to our Homes for Veterans program. So it's a way for everyone to participate, give it back, and doesn't cost you any money to do something that you're not already going to do. Take a look at everythinghomepodcast.com. You could always listen to us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and Player FM. And as our loyal listeners know, I like to start the show with a joke from Mr. Joel Osteen. And we're working on getting him on the show, too. So that'll be very funny when I give one of his jokes, and then maybe he'll give a joke back. So see what he has to say today. So I heard about this man. He was sitting in a dark restaurant, and he said to this lady sitting next to him, "Would you like to hear a blonde joke?" She said, "Before you tell me, you should know that I'm blonde, I'm 6 foot tall, and I'm a professional bodybuilder." And the lady next to me is blonde, she's 6'2", and a professional wrestler. And then the lady next to her is blonde, 6'5", and a kickbox champion of the world. "Now, you still want to tell me this joke?" And he thought for a minute and said, "Nah, not if I have to explain it 3 times. That's even Jen, she thought it was funny. So that's good. And all those people out in listening land, you know, you heard them too. I stuck that new little sound effect in. So I'm playing around with the capabilities of what can happen with our show and what's out there in the universe, and just trying to keep everybody on their toes and entertained. So without further ado, I have a fun guest today, which we're going to talk about some marketing mistakes to avoid. And I think it's critical, especially here in Arizona in the summer, things kind of slowed down, and it's a great time for everybody to analyze their own marketing, public relations that they're working on, their graphic design, their websites, their branding. Things are a little bit slower. It's a little hot. You don't want to be outside doing as much, so there's no excuse to not really fine-tune what your message is. And whether it's a nonprofit or it's a small business, or even if you're selling on behalf of a big business. I mean, marketing and your brand is all what it's about. So we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff like that today. So I have Jen Wolf, the owner of Wolf Creative. And she does graphic design, creative writing, web design, and branding. So how are you today, Jen?
I'm just dandy. How about you?
I am wonderful. So let's talk about some of these marketing mistakes to avoid, since, you know, especially with social media, I'm sure that you've seen it as it's evolved over the years. A lot of people rely on that too much, where they think, oh, I just posted it, magically people are going to come to me and it's going to, oh, this business will be there. What were the old statistics? It was like 7 to 12 times it took in order to get in front of somebody, in order for them to really pay attention or get engaged. And now it's something like 20 to 30, because people are so bombarded with information, right? Isn't it out of control now that you just go, what do I do?
Totally out of control. So let me start by saying that probably the most important thing for any business owner to keep in mind is that your marketing materials have to stay current, because if you don't, it's literally disrespectful to your clients. Your website looks terrible. Your marketing materials look terrible. What kind of impression are your clients going to get of you? So all the things we're going to talk about are things that are mistakes that I see so often that I can't believe people actually still do them. So the first one, of course, is you ought to be looking at your logo every 5 years or so, because just like fashion, clothing goes in and out of style, so do the looks of logos and those types of things. So currently right now, logos have gone to very simple, Nike, McDonald's, you know, you've got a swish and an M, Target with the two rings of color, red color. So they're very simple. They're very, very flat. And if you've got a logo that's from the 80s, that's way complicated, granted, your customers recognize that brand, but on the other hand, it's out of date. And they associate that with an out of date company. So when you look at your logo and you go to recreate it, and I suggest you do think about recreating it, you want to make it as easy and simple as possible. And so the biggest mistake I see is creating a logo that is too busy. I had a client recently who wanted to put a house, an old man, a young couple, and a dog all in the logo. Like, I don't think so.
Yeah, you know, just like to put a car in there and like a flower, just yeah, you know, and
right.
The kitchen sink. You know, probably just put the kitchen sink as a joke, like, oh, there's everything
right.
Plus that. Yeah.
Tree in the background, clouds, you know.
Yeah.
So yes, making a logo too busy is a huge mistake. But more important is not keeping your logo up to date. And honestly, people, if you keep it in the same kind of feel as your brand, people are not going to think that's strange. You know, they understand that when you relaunch the brand, they get it. They get the fact that you're upgrading, especially if you can tell them, you know, we've added new features to our website, and we've got new marketing material, and we've got new products and services. All those kinds of things refresh your brand and keep you a vital business.
So sometimes do you think that even if you're maybe not within that 5-year range, but you've got some new programs or you've got some new things, rebranding and redoing that logo might just be a reintroduction to people that maybe you've been doing this for even 10 or 15 years, but sometimes that one, I don't want to say it's an excuse to reconnect with everybody.
Exactly.
You can say, oh, like on our new website, it's like another reason. It's you know, if you just watch commercials and they stir up or they reinvent themselves all the, well, celebrities, you know what I mean? They reinvent themselves all the time. It's like almost you're like, hey, so-and-so went to rehab and they just got out and hey, now all of a sudden they're getting a gig. Like, they were a bad actor before, you know what I mean? Right. They weren't that great, but now all of a sudden they're hot because they look pretty because somebody cleaned them up. And you know what I mean? And they were, so it's almost like it's a great reason to revive your brand or your image. So
right.
I guess what you could say is unless you're making an ungodly amount of money, right?
Yeah.
Take a look at just doing it to stir the pot, to make a difference, to just see, like,
even
yeah,
then,
let's just touch, you know, let's just see what happens if I do that.
Well, even if you're making an ungodly amount of money, you still should be rebranding periodically. I mean, if do a Google search on Coca-Cola and look back through the logos over the years, they've changed every year for 5 years, every 5 years for however long they've been in business, 100 years plus, because they know that they have to reach the new look and feel of the, you know, the times. They have to stay current in order to stay a dinosaur. I mean, in order to stay a monster company and not become a dinosaur.
A big company that's billions and billions of dollars who's been
doing
this for a while. So, I mean, it's if they're doing it, why can't a small guy? Because when you think about it, yeah, you've got to update some things, but they probably need updating anyway. And it doesn't cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And it's something that really can invigorate it. So what if you picked up two new clients from it? Well, you probably just paid for everything that, you know, that you needed to, that it just cost you. But now it's a reason to send out a new campaign or, oh, God forbid, pick up the phone and maybe contact a bunch of your clients and said, hey, listen, I've got this new program or I've got this new product. I got this new service and I got this cool new image that I have or this new logo. What do you think?
Exactly.
Like, I didn't get a chance to look. And like, well, yeah, that's okay. Don't worry about it. But anyway, who do you use for your car insurance? You know what I mean? So you got them on the phone. And it could be, right? It could be. Did you need a new tile roof? You know what I mean? Whatever it is that your gig is, it gives you an excuse, even if it's kind of a little bit irrelevant from what it is that you're doing. But, it, you know, you're not these people that are supposed to be in your contact, your sphere of influence. They're either an old client, somebody who's following you, somebody who's in your database. Maybe it's somebody who is a friend of yours that you haven't talked to in a while. But it sounds like it's a great excuse to re-engage with people that you haven't
Absolutely.
Gotten a chance to. And you never know what they need or who they have. Or maybe you can put them in contact with somebody else. And that's the whole beauty of, you know, marketing and networking with other people.
Yeah. I just helped a local nonprofit kind of not recreate their logo, but recreate their look on some constant contact newsletters. And their open rate for their newsletters, which they're finally starting to do consistently, is around 30%, which is huge.
Oh. And that's because the look was better, or even the header message.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, that's another thing people need to take a look at. They might have a large database, but if they're not messaging to them properly, or even if they have an awesome organization or awesome product or service, but if it's somebody is not clicking on it to open it, then it doesn't matter if you've got 50,000 people following you. But if nobody wants to open it, but yet you're amazing. Like, you've got the best product in the world and it's buy one, get 100 for free. But if nobody knows to just click on it or open it or whatever, then, you know, it's almost like a wasted opportunity. And,
exactly.
You know, having these marketing materials that match, that are, you know, that have this new life to them are very critical.
Well,
and I think people forget about that.
We're a little off topic, but I'll go ahead and talk quickly about especially the headline of anything you send out. Whatever that is needs to capture attention. As a perfect example, I had an estate planning attorney who sent out a constant contact newsletter with the title, "How Do I Get That Lousy Kid Off My Will?" He had a 75% open rate.
That's awesome.
It caught the attention of the thousands of people that he was sending the newsletter to, and they opened it and they read it and they called him. So, you know, find things that even if they're a little bit irreverent, catch people's attention, because you're wading through thousands of other messages that they're getting every day. So you've got to make a difference. You've got to stand out. Which kind of takes us to our next topic of not using color psychology when you create marketing materials. Here's a perfect example. Psychologically, 50% of the country loves orange and the other 50% hate it. So if you decide to use orange in your marketing materials, you've automatically cut out about 50% of your audience, because they're turned off by that color automatically before they even look at any of your messaging. If you're marketing to another country, we have cultural colors embedded into us. So, for example, the color of a funeral or death in the United States is black, but in other countries, especially in the Eastern countries, Asia, the color of a funeral or death is white. So, you know, there's different colors mean different things in different areas of the country. So you better do your homework if you're marketing to other parts of the world, because you could seriously turn off your crowd even before you tell them what the product is.
In today's society with emails and letters and all that, next thing you know, it's gone viral that you're anti-something. And you're like, no, I had no idea. I just wanted to sell you a toaster. I just was selling toasters, dude. And now all of a sudden, everybody hates me. Like, no, there's nothing wrong with my toasters. You got to really, you know. Well, here it's not as much, but like you said, there's some sensitivity issues, especially depending on what who your audience is.
If you're selling like orange juice, you probably want to use the color orange.
Right.
But if you're in a nursing care organization, you probably don't want to use orange. You probably want to use the soothing, comforting colors, the cool colors, the blues and greens. And on the flip side of that, let's say you're in a home care, nursing home care, do not use red. In people's mind, red is urgent, red is dangerous, red is bad. So you've now turned your client's mind, so, oh my God, I'm dying.
It's like medic and emergency.
Right.
And you're like, no, this is a nice facility. No, I don't want to go.
Right. So yeah, you have to think about all that kind of stuff when you're creating your materials and how it makes people feel. Restaurants paint their restaurant insides with certain colors because those colors are known to make you hungry. Why not take advantage of those psychological built-in buttons that we all have? From the dawn of time, we know that red is danger because everything in nature that's red tends to be poisonous. So that's built into our psychology from the first we stood upright. So it's a little hard to get over that kind of conditioning. And if you can take advantage of it. I mean, if you're in an urgent care, have you ever seen an urgent care that didn't have a red sign to it?
Now that I'm thinking about it, no, I think they all have red. The lettering is all red, you know.
Right.
And well, of course, a lot of them have that little cross thing on it. But yeah, I think now that you think you want to analyze, yeah, I think that they all are red.
Right. And that's
you just assume, you don't even think that there's strategy behind it or a meaning or some sort of subliminal messaging.
Yep. And there's tons of subliminal messaging that goes along with your color choices.
Well, you remember, you and I are probably in a similar age bracket, but you remember back when we were young, they were always talking about subliminal messages in movies or like on the, what was it? It was on the pack of the Camel cigarettes. Remember the guy standing there, like he was part of the Camel? Like, do you remember?
Yeah.
I think I was in high school at the time, but it was, the guy standing there, he's part of the leg. But when you keep looking at it, you're like, oh my God, that guy's standing there. He technically has like no pants on. Like, oh my God, yeah. And I think that was, I remember analyzing it in, well, pseudo-analyzing it. It's high school, by the way. So in a, like a sociology class, and it was the first right. time I think that we ever talked about subliminal messaging. And then at that point, I think there was a couple movies that had mentioned that, or they were, you know, like that's when I think a couple of they were like, you know, they were trying to put a ghost in it or something, or like there was like flashes of stuff. But I think that was kind of, well, you know, that was almost 30 years ago or 25 years ago. But well, to me, that was the first time it became what people were talking about, the subliminal part of things.
Yeah, it used to be, and I don't know how true this is. It could be a bit of an urban legend, but they used to flash popcorn scenes.
Right. Yeah.
During the movies to get people to go buy more popcorn.
But this stuff works. I mean, you know, that's just how it is. So instead of be aware of it and utilize it to your advantage to get your message properly positioned, right?
Right. And here's the most important message of all. I don't care what colors you like. It's what colors your customers like that matter. So if you're super fond of purple, but you're in a business that needs some soothing, comforting colors, don't use purple. Use what's going to attract the clients, not what's going to attract you. Admittedly, you still have to like your own materials, but there's ways to do that without, you know, imposing your color scheme over everything.
Do you find, because you've been doing this for a while, because people are more aware, consumers are more sensitive, they're more into meaning for everything, as opposed to even 10 years ago where maybe it was just price or it looked cool, but now there seems to be deeper analyzing or attachment to everything that everybody does. Do you find that really plays a role with how your logo and your overall brand affects people, as opposed to maybe 10 years ago it didn't affect them a certain way, and now because people have changed, and it's the same people, let's just say, not even the younger ones who now come into the marketplace, it's the same people, but they're looking at it differently because they've personally changed.
Yeah, that's exactly true. Like I said, everything goes in and out of fashion, and so the fashion has shifted over the past 5 years to a much simpler look. Used to be in, you know, the 80s and 90s, it was very intricate. I mean, lots of things moving and bright colors, and now it's, you're trying to be as simple as possible to get the message across as quickly as possible, because people are bombarded by thousands of messages a day. If you try to overwhelm them with too much information, they're just going to throw it away. It used to be back in the 80s, you could send out a 3 or 4 page written letter to people and they would read it. Today?
Yeah.
All right. That's going to happen.
You're lucky they read, like, they look at the post. It's, if it's not almost like a video where it says free, click here, they're not even paying attention to that, right?
Yeah. And honestly, these days, I know a lot of people still like trifold brochures, but I'm trying to shift clients to just give them a 3x5 postcard with your main message and how to get more on your website, because people just don't have time to look at all of it anymore. So you've got to find a way to capture attention very quickly. A picture is worth 1,000 words, obviously, and a very short, here's what I do, here's how I can help. It's that simple. And that should be across all of your platforms, all your website, your printed marketing materials, your social media. You want to answer one simple question as quickly as you can.
And it needs to be consistent, right? Regardless of what medium you're using, it should be the same language. It should be the same sentence. It should be the same. Everything should be exactly the same, right? Well, I mean, maybe a little tweaking based on like the audience, where one audience is a little bit more, I don't know, broad versus narrow. Is that why you should change it? But I mean, explain the differences so maybe somebody can get their arms around that.
Everything should start with your website. That is where people are going to go to find out more information about you, and where you should have messaging that causes them to act, to buy, to call you, to whatever it is they need to do. It's there that you're, and we're kind of skipping down to number six on the list, which is blogs. Failing to educate your customers is huge. And that means blogging. Yeah, I know everybody out there just panicked because what blogs do is allow you to answer the questions that your clients ask you every day. And that messaging should be the core, a longer article on your website. And then you take little snippets out of it and put it on Twitter and on Facebook and on Instagram and Pinterest and feed everything back so they can come back and read more information. And it shouldn't be the same language because Google looks at duplicate content as being a very bad thing. They want to see the same wording everywhere. They want to see you slightly rephrasing everything so you doesn't look like you're copying and pasting from someone else. And there's a cardinal sin. Never, ever copy from any place else. If you're going to be inspired by someone else's article, then write it in your own words.
So you're saying Google doesn't like when it's the same language or the same sentences, or does it just go, I mean, you know, a sentence on your website, which is your part of your summary of what you do, and then
yes.
you cut and pasted that, well, or retyped it or whatever, and put it
yeah.
into part of an article. It's not picking up that. It's not that sensitive that it's
no,
picking
no.
that up, and it now hates you that you all of a sudden you're on
no,
the ad list,
no,
right?
No, and especially
is there a Google jail? Do they have Google jail for people too? They seem to have they have jail for everybody on the internet for everything else.
Google puts you in jail for things like spamming for, and it's against your website. It's not necessarily anything else. But for example, if you're phishing, if your website is overloaded with keywords and key phrases, I mean, there's all kinds of, we're getting into SEO, basically, search engine optimization there. The simplest thing to do is write a really great blog, put it up on your website, and then take bits and pieces out, kind of rephrase it so that it's when you're putting it on Facebook, you're kind of introducing it and then linking it right back to the blog. You want to drive everything back to your website. And here's why I say that. Everybody's like, oh, you don't need a website anymore. It's all social media. Well, social media it comes and goes. It's a fad, just like everything else. But your website is going to stay there forever. I don't see websites going away like newspapers. I see them just becoming stronger and stronger because as the social media comes and goes, and oh gosh, we've got a new shiny one over here, now we're leaving Facebook. Well, then what? You now have no place to send people. So
mm-hmm.
you've got to have a really strong website.
Well, and I find that just even on Facebook, if you're putting a couple things on there, depending on where you're sticking it and where people tend to look, if it was in the feed, well, now the feed's the 10 or 20 at the bottom, people aren't going to scroll. They're going to look at that initial page.
Right.
But if you don't stick it in the right place, because you're not almost, you really, with the social media, I mean, I've done a lot of this stuff on my own over the past couple of months, because I haven't had a choice, right? Trust me, if I was able to cut a check and say, hello team, hello social media team and marketing
right.
team, here's Michelle's wish list of everything she wants to do. Now bring in the experts and make it look pretty. Okay, well, a lot of people don't have that kind of a budget. So we
right.
have to be the entrepreneur hat, stick that on and become, you know, do as best as we can without spending, you know, 2 weeks of just researching on how to do stuff, because at that same point, I'm trying to get things to the next level to get either audience, you know, sell things, get a business, blah, blah, blah. In general, everyone's trying to do that. Unless you really are an expert at all of the social media stuff, you don't know where people are looking or what the spots are. So that really does make sense why the website is so critical, because at least that's stationary, right? I mean,
right.
that is like, unless you've got a store, like a physical location or an office that people are walking by, like, you know, like old school town where people
right.
had a main street. So that website, to put it into simplicity terms, that website becomes your main street where people are walking by. So then
exactly.
that was your, that's your billboard. That is your storefront with your two windows that has the pretty dress in the front. And then it has, you know,
right.
you're selling a guitar. So you got your pretty dress
right.
and your guitar. So that's your website.
Right.
So if you could just drive everybody back to that storefront, then You know, so I guess that's what you're trying to say. That is why it's critical to have your base, right? Your home base, yes. Your foundation be that really solid website that has content in it. But from what you're saying, it needs to be very simple, right? People don't want to go into the depths of the pages of, you know, tunnel after tunnel.
Okay. The home page needs to stay simple. The home page needs to be very quick messaging on what's in it for them. What makes you meaningful, honest, and different. And that's it. Then you have buttons on that page that can take them to find more information about your services. Or maybe you put up a blog every week at the bottom of the home page just the sentence, first sentence, and then you add a click here to read more, and it takes them to the blogs for more information. Because people who really are interested in your product are going to spend more time on your website looking to make sure that you're the kind of company they want to do business with. And that's why the blogs are so important, because they are an education tool for your customers. They can find out a lot about you and about your products and services from those blogs. So that's why I wanted to give everybody some quick tips on blogging.
Yeah, it sounds like are you sitting right now in your office with a shirt that says I Heart Blogs? I mean, I picture you having that on. And if you don't, then for Christmas, I'm getting you a shirt that says I Heart Blogs. Because you're not a blogger person. Like, you don't do that and make money off of telling people to use blogs. So it's not like you're trying to drive people this because you make a bunch of money by people blogging, right? So, I mean, it really is because of either the feedback that you get or the results that you're seeing when people use blogs to their best advantage. So I want to make that clear that you are, every time you say the word blog, you also don't get paid by the blog master. So that's a disclaimer that I want everyone to be aware of. This is real information.
The disclaimer is that sometimes I do blog on behalf of my clients because they don't have time. It takes me a while to learn how to walk a mile in their shoes, but once I do, I have clients I've been blogging for 5 and 10 years.
Oh. But you see it working. That's my point. You see the real
absolutely.
Results of the blogging, and it really does work. And you've been doing it for quite some time.
Right. So let's talk about what an effective blog is these days.
Perfect.
It's between 500 and 800 words, what you're looking for. That's what Google looks for. They like content, new content on your website as often as possible. So people are like, oh, how am I ever going to do that? Okay, well, here's the first step. Sit down with your staff, or if it's just you, and think about all the questions people ask you about your business every day and write those questions down. Each one of those questions then can become a blog that you answer the question. Next, take one Saturday morning, Sunday afternoon, whatever, pick four topics, one per each week of the month, and write those blogs, and then just schedule them to go out on your website. And you can't, most websites have scheduling tools. So once you get them done, you put them up, schedule them, and forget about them till the next month. And at the same time you do that, let me give you an example. I have a client who has a restaurant, and the restaurant, we talked about all the different names of sugar, because sugar is hidden in all our food in all different kinds of, like, there's 51 different names for the sugar they add into our food. So at the bottom, when I helped them create the blog, I also created 10 little tidbits about sugar that they can then use to post out onto their social media that draws the people back to the blog for more information. So it gives them a whole month's worth of, or several weeks worth of, blogging and social media content. So if you just take a few hours once a month to get all that done, you've got it for the following month, and you're set to go. So it's not as scary as it sounds. And if you don't feel comfortable doing it, I'd be happy to. I love helping clients with that kind of stuff.
So you're saying you only need to do one blog per week and
on your website.
So, right. So then that's because otherwise it's overloading of information and it's also people, it's too much effort for what potential results you're going to get, right? Then you also maybe get exhausted on it and you're like, God, I'm spending so much time blogging, but I'm not getting anything from it.
Yeah, and I'm mainly talking to small businesses here. People like Coca-Cola and Nike, they may be putting blogs out two or three times a day because they've got so much going, so much happening. But in your case, in a small business's case, you want to focus on one thing and then try to spread the message out through your email newsletters, through your social media, through your website, through if you're networking, that's the message of the week for your networking. You name it. There's all kinds of possibilities to take this one message and really drive that particular point home and educate people and tell people how you are an expert in your field. And that's what you're doing. You're educating people about what you do. And that's another question I get. People are always afraid that, oh my gosh, well, I'm going to give away the farm with the blogs. No. 99% of the people will read the blog and still call you because you do it better than they do. 1% will take your blog and say, yeah, I can do this and be gone. So it's worth the 99% people calling you. So.
Well, also they don't have time, right? I mean, they have a job, they have a company,
exactly.
They have a life, they have all these other things. So if you're there to provide a service, well, they're not going to try to duplicate it when it's something that they can afford to add on. So don't be afraid of somebody stealing your stuff because there's what's to steal? Your time?
Yeah, right.
I mean, and that's what people value the most is I don't have time to, yeah, I can do it myself, but I don't have time to do it. And I'm also not an expert, so I'm not going to do, it's like going to dinner, right? So you're like, I can cook, but I don't want to have to go through all the prep. I don't want to have to do the stuff at the grocery store. Then I don't have to also want to then make the dinner. Then I also don't want to have to do all dishes to clean it up. So, so if I can afford to go out to dinner and eliminate, you know, 2 hours of effort from beginning to end on one meal, and so then why not go out to dinner? Right. And then you can enjoy it. You're like, I get to sit back and someone's serving me. So, I mean, using that, don't be afraid that someone's going to steal your stuff because you got nothing. There's nothing to steal.
Well,
you're not that cool that people want to steal your stuff. Right. And if you're that important and you got that much amazing stuff, trust me, you've got a full on company and staff that takes care of all that. Right.
Right. Yeah.
You've got legal staff. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Unless you've invented something brand new, then you probably want to be a little careful about what you put out there so your competitors don't steal it. But they probably are already spying on you trying to figure out what you've done. So I wouldn't worry about it too much.
You're already on the radar if you're that cool. They're just waiting for you to slip up. But at that point, like I said, you got legal staff and you got a team. You've got, you know, you got your people.
Right, exactly. So I encourage everyone to start blogging. And put it on your website and use those tidbits that I talked about, those tips at the end for your social media to draw people back, to read more about the blog, to see more about your business, to engage them.
The blogging thing to me, my opinion or my thoughts about it was always, I was kind of afraid to like do the blog thing, but now that you've simplified it, that it's really just kind of like an article of answering questions, like a FAQ section on a website. And it sounds like it's almost like a press release. So is it similar to saying, hey, you're kind of writing a press release about a program or a service or something else, and then that really just becomes a blog. So blog just means an article, right?
Yeah. And sometimes it's just plain informational. For example, I did a blog for a client on why pizza and beer go so well together.
So what was the reason why? What is the answer to that one?
There's actually physical reasons why it goes so well together. The yeast in the pizza dough complements the yeast in the beer. The beer cuts through the grease and the cheese. There's a whole bunch of different reasons. But anyway, this is a company, obviously, that does pizza. Yeah. And so it was a good blog for them. And then I did a whole bunch of tips on, do you know how many pizzas we eat a year in the United States, and those kind of things to drive people more back to the website, to look at the menu, to look at, you know, the blogs and get an idea of what the company does. And it was fun. They got a lot of engagement with it.
Because it worked. It caught the attention of the audience. Yep. It was something unique, and who doesn't like beer and pizza? And then all of a sudden,
right,
now they've
exactly.
got more people walking in the door ordering stuff. So
right.
I like that idea. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, I would read that article if I happened to see it come across a feed or an email deal. So, let's say when you're talking about these blog deals, okay? So if you got the blog on the website, do you also – if you're sending out a newsletter, do you send out a newsletter, or like you said, a constant contact email that just highlights what the blog was, or what's the best way to drive people to the blog if you write a great blog on your website?
Well, that's what I suggest. You probably want to send out a newsletter once a month. Any more than that, and you're overwhelming your clients. They don't want to see that from you every week. So what you do is you take little paragraphs out of each of those blogs and put them in your Constant Contact or MailChimp or whatever newsletter. And then say, if you want to read more, click here and send them right back to that blog on your website. And so you have four different, as I said, you probably ought to blog once a week or twice a month, whatever. So you'd have four or two different blogs that they could go find more information about in your newsletter, along with whatever specials or sales or whatever else is happening in your business. Maybe you've gotten an award. You know, those are the kinds of things that your clients need to know about you.
Unless there was something amazing that happened, like you said, there was an award, that might be a reason to send one of those special constant contact updates that sometimes you get, or if you've got a product where something's on sale, then boom, do like almost like a flash.
Right.
I'm just making up the word because I don't know necessarily the real term for like flash sale or flash this, but
no,
you know what
works.
I mean? So you're like, boom, this is what we got. And you go, whoa, that's awesome. Let me do that. You know, it's something
right.
that's quick, that's meaning worthwhile, as opposed to, all right, I updated my website today, so here's the new articles. So only go past that once a month when there's something there that you would appreciate the information if you were neutral, not attached to it because it's your company or your organization.
Yeah, for a long time I had a website called See the Southwest. We used to put a blog up every 5 days or so, and it's just a travel, places to see, things to do in the four corner states. And at the beginning of each month, we'd send out a newsletter that captured all those articles we put up during the past month, so people who might not have been able to get to the site saw the newsletter and went, oh, I want to read that article, and they could go back to it. That's the gist of how you want to draw people in.
That's pretty powerful, especially how you broke down the strategies behind the blog and maybe took away some apprehensions and fears of blogging.
Yeah.
Like I said, my impression of the blog is totally different than where it is right now.
Great
if you've
question.
Educated and changed one person, you did it for me, so I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, think about
the blog light bulb just went on. Bing. Yeah.
Think about my estate planning attorney. There are probably people out there who want to know how to get that lousy kid off their will.
Yeah.
So he's answering questions that he gets from his clients. It was still funny, but
yeah.
It was a good way to approach it. And I know, just like you know, I get questions every day about, especially about website building, which we'll get to in a little bit. But I get questions all the time from people that I periodically answer on my blog, on my website.
I just want for people to realize that taking the extra time and bringing on the right people, I mean, it's not thousands and thousands of dollars. It's not like years ago where, and I'm not sure you remember this, or maybe it was back in the day, like 10 years ago, if you wanted to have a consultation, I mean, you couldn't find somebody who didn't tell you it was like $5,000 to do something.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I just cut. Yeah. You're like, whoa. You know what I mean? You're like, you might actually just have an hour or two that you spend with someone initially, and then they see the value. And then there are certain, and you could do things in stages. You could say, okay, well, here's the plan, and here's what we're going to do now. And then in a month or two, we can do these certain things, depending on what someone's budget is and Absolutely. What they need to work with. So there's a lot of flexibility nowadays. It's not,
you bet.
I don't want people to think, oh my God, I got to hire someone to do all this. I can't afford it.
Take baby steps. Absolutely. Do a little bit at a time. And especially for a small business owner, you don't have a lot of spare change lying around to necessarily hire somebody like me. But
right.
if I can come in for a couple hours and coach you on little steps that you can take, great. That's what I'm all about. I love partnering with small businesses to help them build their businesses up.
They're willing to do the work, right? That you need to just give them the guidance. Then
yeah.
as their business starts to grow, then they go, okay, now I'm busy enough, or I've got these extra, this extra income coming in. So guess what, Jen? Boom. Here's your pile of blog crap. I'm not doing this ever again. See you later,
then,
blog. It's not that people don't want to utilize other people for certain services. They're always afraid that it's going to be too expensive. At least have that conversation to find out exactly what the cost is and then figure out how it is that you can put it into whatever your plan is in your budget. Because if you don't know and you're just all making assumptions that it's so much money, then you're never going to get ahead to where you need to be anyway. So
right,
I mean, at
exactly.
least have that conversation. Say, here's all the things that I would love to do. And you go, okay, fine. Let's put them in a priority and here's what it's going to cost. And then you go, okay, well, now what can we work on? And then boom, everything could change so quickly. Especially
right.
if the person that you're working with is, let's just pretend that they're really good at what they do, or they've got really a good product. They're just, you know, kind of spinning around in circles, but they're like, God, I know a lot of people and I just need a little help in that right direction. It's almost like, you know, the feet are running, but someone's holding them back. Like they push it amongst the head and then they're laughing because the person's just running, but they're in the same spot. The feet are going, but the
right.
body's not moving. And sometimes it just takes another person, another fresh set of eyes, somebody that comes in and says, here's how it kind of works nowadays. It's what you need to do. And then that arm's removed and boom, there they go. They got like, you know, they're off to the races.
Exactly.
So you do an initial consult with somebody, right? So you could talk to them at least just get an idea on what they want. And, or do you charge for that? Or how does that work with just an initial phone call with somebody?
I don't charge.
Well, see, so now there's no excuse for anyone
right.
not to, like I said, unless you are doing so well where you have so much money coming in that you're like, God, I've got to hire 10 more people because I have too much business. So if that's the case, awesome. But other than that, if it's not and you're, even if you just kind of want to reinvent yourself a little bit, you know what I mean? It's like, you know how it is, like once you lose 10 pounds or you get a new outfit or you get a haircut, you're like, okay, I'm kind of feeling good. I want to, you know, it's a little reinvention, you know,
and exactly.
or, you know, and then so you can do that with your business. And nowadays there's so many ways to do it, especially if you want to throw in that little social media. Yeah, all of a sudden, like you go from somebody who's never blogged before and you put out a blog, like how fun, you know what I mean? It's like, I hear stories of some of these women that start doing like a different business, they're in their 60s and you're like, good for her. Like, go kick some ass, lady. Like, way to go. You know what I mean? Like, they're starting to do like, they're doing a new business. They're selling something. The kids are all out of the house. The husband, she got rid of him because, you know, it was dead weight. And then all of a sudden she's just kicking ass and taking names. And you're like, I like that. I like people that take a little bit of a risk, calculated risk, though. You're not just all of a sudden, you know, I'm going crazy because, you could live under a bridge. But I just think that it's a great opportunity for somebody to really just take a little bit and do something simple to make a change. Because let's just say, hey, how many more years are you going to be doing what you're doing? How many more years are you going to be in the shape that you're in on this planet? So make it fun while you can. And in addition,
keep it exciting for you.
Yeah. Because then your business gets a little boring, or you're not, it's a way to interact with new people and it's, you know, something fresh and it maybe gives you a little bit more creativity, or maybe you get to meet new people. I know we jumped around for a lot of topics, but I think that a lot of it was critical. And what we can do is obviously figure out which ones that we need to go down the road of a little bit more in detail, or have you
Absolutely.
Come back on and kind of do a little bit of, hey, here's what's going on this week. I mean, there's a lot of things that we could do. I mean, I have 3 pages of notes because I always take notes when I am on the podcast with people, because there's so much information that is coming from this. We could go over other things on future episodes, because you're definitely going to be coming back, because a lot of this stuff is really good stuff.
Thank you. I'd love to.
I think this is really good content for people. So,
so it sounds to me like the first one ought to be on blogs. What do you think?
Now I'm kind of I think I might be a new blog fan. Like I'm going to get a shirt for myself that says I heart blogs too.
So perfect.
Now, if we're in the same room together, then I'll get another shirt that says I'm with Blogger and an arrow next to it.
That sounds great.
Yeah, the blogger's my friend and an arrow or something along those lines. Well, see, that's like I said, you got to have fun with this stuff because, you know, you don't know at what point the party's going to be over or, you know, things in life change very quickly. So
right,
if you can't
exactly.
have fun with the stuff that you got to do, then it's time to either change gears or go do something else.
You
so Tim,
got
why
it.
Don't you give your contact information, website, and then we will end the show gracefully.
Okay. Jen Wolf, Wolf Creative. My website is www.jenwolfcreative.com, and that's Wolf with an E. And my phone number is 602-441-5621.
I appreciate you coming on today, and I appreciate you being entertained by some of my comedic stints that I did throw out there. So the laughter, your laughter was real. I didn't even have to throw in the laugh track. I didn't have to stick that in there. But I did it at the beginning. But Jen, I like I said, I appreciate it, and the audience, they appreciate it.
Thank you. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to put another one on there where you just hear, yay. We're going to definitely have you back on. We're going to make you one of our expert contributors if you're wanting to do that. I think the content for the audience would be amazing. Jen, I appreciate you coming on today. I learned a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. We covered a tremendous amount of information today with Miss Jen Wolf about, well, we started with marketing mistakes to avoid, but then we kind of went into different ideas about marketing in general, websites, blogs, and just business. Don't be afraid. Don't already in the back of your mind think that something's too expensive. Some of these little changes, the stuff that I learned today, I'm actually going to be putting into motion this afternoon while I'm redoing the website. And I think it's going to really make a difference, especially this. I feel like I should be calling myself a blogger soon. So stay tuned for that. There's going to be some exciting stuff. But Jen did a great job and she's going to be one of our expert contributors. She is going to be coming back on and giving us little snippets, really short points about stuff to keep an eye on and to make changes to help your business, to help your organization, or just to help certain things with your own stuff when it comes to marketing and branding. I mean, I'm sure that we could somehow twist marketing and branding into dating. Right? Because isn't that what dating is marketing and branding yourself? I think that's a whole nother topic that, I think I'm onto something. So with that being said, I appreciate everybody listening to the Everything Home Podcast. And please check out our website, which is everythinghomepodcast.com. All of the shows, the information on all of the guests are on there. And there is some amazing content and it's going to be ever evolving and expanding, and it's free. There's going to be discounts and free stuff that's giving away. There's deals out there, and I want everybody to start taking a look at our entire product campaign that we're doing, which is the buy now products, and 2-30% of all of your purchases made at well-known websites and brands like Houzz and Cost of Westville Market and Rodana Fields and StubHub, Major League Baseball, Travelocity. They're giving that back to the nonprofit. So, and that's helping the people where I'm prematurely saying this. It's our whole new thing we're doing. That's pets and kids. You heard it here first. I mentioned something on Facebook about it, but stay tuned to next week. It's going to be some pretty cool stuff that we are launching and you're helping us change the world and it's not costing anybody money. How awesome is that? So thanks again for listening. You can always tune in and listen on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and Player FM. Make it a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to Everything Home with Michelle Swinnick.